Hello and welcome to The Story of Us, Billy and Sarah's version. I'm your host, Uncle Steve, and joining me today on the line, first of all, over in Perth, Australia, I have Billy. Billy, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing good. Also with me in Texas, I have Sarah. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. And joining us again this week, all the way down in San Antonio, Texas, I have Triple S. I have the Social Security Swiftie, Anthony. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I mean, I wouldn't normally say that, but you called yourself that, so I just thought.
I did.
Me and Sarah had a whole conversation.
Actually, I didn't even think you were going to remember, but.
We were talking about it in the car earlier. I'm like, what did Anthony call himself? And I thought it was senior citizen, and she said, no, it was Social Security. I said, okay. So there we go. Well, thank you for joining us, Anthony.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Well, now, definitely thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason we're getting together today and having this conversation, I mean, if you don't know why, are you really a Taylor Swift fan? I mean, come on. So Sarah is going to tell us why we are here today and what the topic of the podcast will be. Go ahead.
Did I say?
Okay, so Taylor Swift had a brand new album that came out. And Sarah's going to tell us about when it got announced and how it all went down this past day or two.
So on February 4th, 2024, there was an award show called the Grammys, and everybody thought that Taylor Swift was going to announce Reputation, Taylor's version, because it had just been something that was built up and there were a lot of like hints, but really it was hinting towards a new album. And that's pretty much, she won pop, I think it was pop album of the year.
Or she won an award, she made the announcement.
Maybe it was pop song of the year when she made the announcement. I don't know, but she said that if she won something, she was going to announce it. And she basically was like, to say thank you to the fans, my brand new album comes out April 19th. And it's called The Tortured Poets Department.
And that was, and April 19th was yesterday.
Yes, correct.
So what happened when the album was supposed to come out at 11 Eastern time here in the United States, right?
12 Eastern time and 11.
Okay, 12 Eastern, 11 where we are. So the album was released at 12 o'clock
Eastern time.
Everybody was real excited about it. Sarah was listening to it when it came out. Anthony, you listened to it when it came out. Unfortunately for Billy, she was in school when it came out and had to wait until she got home from school to listen to it, correct?
Yeah. Mom wouldn't pull me out of school.
What kind of mom do you have? Come on.
Yeah.
Would you have pulled me out of school?
Oh, I definitely would have pulled you out of school.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
You know, I'm not a big school fan anyway. So the thing is, so I was working on Thursday night going into Friday. So at about 1:45 in the morning, I get a phone call from Sarah, and she's like, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened." And then what did you tell me? What happened when the album came out, when it was released?
Well, when the album came out, there was a, before the album had come out, there was a countdown on Taylor Swift's Instagram to the time that it was coming out. When you would refresh her Instagram, the countdown wouldn't come up. Mm-hmm. So that countdown reset as soon as her album was released.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like for
2 hours.
2 hours later. So, basically, 2 hours later arrived, and there was a double album release. And basically, I don't really know how to explain that it was an add-on.
It was like an anthology.
It was called The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology.
And she said she had so many songs that she wanted to put it on.
Yeah, she had 15 more songs to add. So it basically had the first part that we had all heard, or we had all seen at that point, and then it added 15 more, coming to a total of 31 tracks.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, do you want me to say that part? Or not yet?
No. So, Billy, there was a lot of Easter eggs kind of leading up to this surprise announcement on top of the album. So what was going on with all that?
Okay, so the first one was actually before the award show, where her website went down, and there was like an error code, and it translated to red herring, and she was using like Rep TV as like a red herring to like throw us off the new album. And then after that, she sort of had like two of everything, like in the like when she released the promo video of the Tortured Poets Department and like the building, there was like two typewriters, two desks, we walked past two doors to get to it. She kept putting up two fingers all the time, and everyone's like, this is going to be a double album.
Really?
And they were right.
Okay. Wow.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Chicago Library installation where there was like a lyric book, and the thing with that was it would change every few hours, but some of the lyrics weren't on the Tortured Poets Department, the original one, and everyone's like, hey, where are these lyrics coming from? And there was also like throwing out wedding invitations, like a veil. There was dried up lavender, like from the song Clean and Lavender Haze. There was a statue of Diana, which is a statue that has crumbled because it was made to wait too long, like a lyric in the song. And then each track was like places a book, and some of them were flipped around, like in the like when she did the flipped phone in Midnight's Mayhem. And currently the album is at 313 something streams, which is the amount of songs is 31, and then her lucky number is 13.
Huh. So Anthony,
there was also the Fortnite music video, which had a lot of imagery that relates to other parts of other songs in the album.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as all of this was going on, Anthony, was all of this kind of in your, were you feeling all this stuff too? Like going, oh, there's something crazy going to happen. There's going to be a double album. Or were you kind of just like, what's going on here?
No, I mean, honestly, other than the announcement that she had made at the Grammys when I saw the delayed broadcast from it, I didn't even know about like the social media, you know, or when things that she was posting, you know, like a lot of the Easter egg drops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't really ever like see too much of that because especially as of late, which, you know, sure, you know why I get tied up. I'm not on social media very much anyways. It's rare now that I'm ever on there. So, you know, it's even rarer that I'll even get to see things like that. And if I do, it's already like well after the fact.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is all as surprising to you as it is to me then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I tell you what, let's go into, do you have any more Easter eggs that you want to tell about, Billy?
In like the music video, there's references to the actor Clara Bow, in that Taylor wears her makeup, and she also receives shock therapy at one point, which did actually happen to Clara Bow, and one of the tracks is Clara Bow. There's a black dog wandering around, there's like, and there's some actors from the Dead Poets Society movie.
Oh, yeah?
Which is quite similar to, which, like, a lot of people were like, oh, this is kind of a similar title to the Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
Those are my points.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do next here is I want to go to each one of you and have you kind of
tell what you, the thing that Anthony said.
Yeah, that's where I was
getting
to.
Well, you didn't write that down. You wrote...
I know what I'm saying.
No, that's not what you wrote, though.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you mean, go ahead?
Just go ahead and just run the thing.
Okay, I will. So, each one of us is going to tell something that we would one day like to hear from Taylor Swift. That is what Anthony said to you.
Okay.
And then what our expectations for this album were.
Okay.
Yeah, but you didn't write that down in your message. See, I was right.
So, Anthony, why don't you go ahead and, like, tell all of that stuff?
Okay. So, one thing that that I've always wanted to, or hopefully would be kind of cool if one day Taylor were to do it, which I've heard other Swift fans say, even on socials, is where she could do, like, a rock record. And where that kind of got me really intrigued was at one point, like I want to say maybe a few years ago, Apple, I think it was Apple TV Plus or Apple Music, had posted or showed the 1989 World Tour, the concert video basically. So I got to watch it when it was promoted on Apple, and she did a rock version of We're Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Okay.
And it sounded really good. I mean, it was sort of like a surprise sound from her, because to me the song sounded a little bit more aggressive than obviously what it does on the actual album version.
Yeah.
So I was actually pretty impressed with it, and I kept thinking, man, it would be really cool if she were to just do like a straight up, you know, rock record. You know, even given with her vocals, at least the style of vocals that she likes to use.
Yeah.
But she really hasn't quite done that yet. So when this, actually, even when Midnights was coming out, some of the friends that I talked to on socials were kind of thinking that might be this could be the rock record. But when I saw the cover, I was like, I don't think it's going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
And then this one here, I thought, well, maybe it could, but the more that I kept looking when she posted the artwork, I didn't think it was going to quite go that way. But anyways, you know, that's one thing that I think would be really cool if she were to ever go that route, is to do like a rock record. And I don't mean something like really like on the heavy side. It could be something like along the lines of like an Elton John, Billy Joel type sound, but still with that rock vibe to it.
Yeah.
But then when the album artwork posted and I looked at it, the vibe that it kind of gave me was that it might be more along the lines of a combination of things, like either a mix of like possibly the styles of like what she did on Red, Folklore, and even on her previous album on Midnights. And so that's the kind of vibe I was kind of expecting before the album actually dropped.
Okay. Sarah, what was your thoughts? What did you think?
Well, something that I would like to hear from Taylor one day is like, also going along with what Anthony said, is like a rock album, because that would be just really cool. But I also would like to hear like a jazzy album, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it. You know Maneater by
Hall & Oates?
Yeah. Oh, Daryl Hall & Oates, yeah.
Like that kind of vibe, you know, I like that jazzy sound.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they have like a big like...
You mean the one that's like, she'll only come out at night?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was...
And jazzy. I think that would actually fit her style really well. Yeah. You know, I actually didn't even think about that one.
And then there's like a big like solo of like, I don't know what instrument it is.
It's a saxophone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just knowing seeing the art, like what you said, like the art and just like all the photos for it, I definitely had the like thinking like the Folklore or like Evermore vibe. But yeah, that was my expectations.
Okay. Now let's get to the expectation for the ones that, like, all the fans are waiting for. Billy, what did you think?
Yeah! I would also really like to see a rock album, because she has done a lot of rock covers of not even just her songs. Like, she's sung other rock songs, and she has, like, the perfect vocals for that, I think. And I think it would be good if she went back to, like, something like Folklore and Evermore. Because I think that style of storytelling works really well for her. But I was expecting a sort of like a heartbreak album with like a Red vibe, but like the Folklore songwriting. But I think this album was more about like choosing yourself when no one else will. And I think it was definitely its own thing.
Okay. You would probably say like... Miley Cyrus has kind of done that with her career, right? Like started doing like more rock songs and stuff. She's went in that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because someone said she just put
out. At least with the. I think with her last studio album, she did that one. She went more in a direction of rock, but prior to that, not really so much. She might have had like maybe a few tunes that were, but I think most of it was still like more pop driven.
Okay. Okay. But I think someone was telling me the other day that she had a new song out that was,
a new one.
Yeah. I can't remember what song it was. I'm not real interested in Miley Cyrus's music, so. So, Billy, what did you think as far as, because before the album came out, obviously Taylor probably has her own team of people that's really putting out lots of social media in different places and like all the little Easter eggs and things that are coming out, you know, because there was, what, a couple of months of time between the announcement in February and now. So how do you feel about all the build up and how they, you know, got everyone
set up? They did a fantastic job. They organized an entire eclipse over in America just to promote a lyric about preparing to an eclipse. I think that's really impressive. More people should be able to work with the sun and the moon to promote their album. Get it together, guys. Work harder. The Chicago Library installation, that was honestly the most incredibly detailed thing I've ever seen. I would love to read the instructions that she gave them for that, because there was so much going on and it was like perfect. And they also, the promo video that they put out, that was also really detailed, and like the guitar and like from like Midnights and like the Midnights Room. And then the QR code that they actually put up, made out of the letters TTPD and 13s, was really impressive. So I think they've done a good job.
Interesting. What about you?
I agree. I mean.
Sorry.
It's okay.
She stole all your notes.
Yeah, all my thoughts are pretty much the same.
Okay. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, for me, more of the buildup was more on the fan side. Because, again, when I do get on socials, usually mainly on, I keep calling it Twitter. It's always going to be Twitter to me.
Yeah.
My timeline is pretty much filled with like 90% of Taylor Swift fans who I'm mutual followers with. So a lot of them are on there, you know, kind of doing a lot of their anticipation, you know, their thoughts of what the album is going to be, you know, more or less about. Or more like the lyrical content, or who it could be in reference to, things like that. So little things like that, when they start kind of doing their own little self-build-up, definitely starts piquing my interest, and in a way kind of gets me more excited for the actual album's release.
Okay. So one thing that I got a message the other day from the person in Australia's mother, and she told me that I would be hearing some talk about a certain person. And so Sarah had told me that she thought a lot of the songs were about one person. And then apparently from the other side of the world, they were thinking a different person. So, I'll ask you first, Billy. Do you think most of these songs are about, Joe?
I think some of them, but I think most of them are about Taylor herself.
Okay.
But there's definitely a couple songs about Matty Healy and Kim Kardashian in there, which I found absolutely insane. One of the tracks is called Thank You, Amy, and Taylor has capitalized letters to spell out Kim. And I think that is one of the most deranged things she has done so far, and I'm loving it.
So you think she's deranged?
Yes.
So what about you, Sarah? Do you agree with Billy's take on that?
Well, I think going into it, I just was a little like, just, I didn't really, like, I listened, but like, I didn't, like, overanalyze to begin with, or, like, analyze.
Yeah.
And I think that I just kind of assumed that, like, some of them were about Joe, but re-listening to it, I realized, like, which ones were about, like, Maddie Healy. And then, like, there is definitely a couple about Joe, though, because there's one called So Long London, which, if you know the Taylor Swift lore, you know the other song called London Boy, which is...
What they said about him.
Yeah.
Which for him.
And that's, yeah. Okay, but, yeah, that's it.
I heard that Billy recently said So Long London.
I did.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Anthony, as far as which guys the songs were about, or...
Honestly, not really specific. In fact, I didn't even really hear anything leading into that until I think the first time may have been like on the eve of the, you know, from the night of the album drop. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, once the album was released and I kind of got on Twitter on some of my breaks during work while I was listening to the album. And that's when I saw a lot of the posts were talking about that song references were that they thought were going to be just strictly about Joe Alwyn. And then then again, they're like, but we're starting to find out it's about, you know, Matt, which I didn't even know she had even dated a guy or dated that particular guy, Matt. I had heard about some of the more, I had heard about more of the, well, I guess you could say maybe the more popular or well-known ones like Harry Styles, obviously the last one, Joe, what was his name? John Mayer. And I think one other one. So this one was like completely new to me. Of course, the Kim Kardashian thing I already knew about too, and I got a kick out of that when I saw the title and the letters that were capitalized. But listening, when I did listen to the record though, and I was at the times I could listen to her lyrics and all that, I kind of the same thing that it was more of just from her perspective of things more than it was like directly about someone, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So a little more introspective kind of to be.
Yeah. I think a couple of the songs were also like directly speaking to her fans, like I Can Deal With a Broken Heart and But Daddy I Love Him. I think those songs were her like directly talking to us.
So Sarah said that she thought that at least one of these songs might be about Maddie and KC. Is that accurate? Billy? Maddie and KC?
He's trying to be funny.
Maddie and KC?
It's not working.
Kansas City?
I don't know.
You don't think any of the songs are about him? Because she spent a lot of time in Kansas City.
I don't know what you're talking
about. I just got that.
Okay, sorry, bad. I think I just got my wires crossed here.
Nobody thought that.
So let me ask a question and have each of you answer this. And we'll go answer these in alphabetical order. Okay, so it'll be Anthony, Billy, Sarah. So, and this is just a question from someone who's not a Taylor Swift fan.
Sorry.
Wow. You realize you are being recorded. That whole yawn was caught.
Well, you're boring.
He's just that boring, isn't he?
Okay, so that's editing.
You're boring me with your jokes.
He's putting you to sleep.
Okay, so do you guys as fans... Does it bother you or do you care about which guy the songs might be about? Is that really play an important part of what you think about the songs in any way? Or do you just are like, hey, it's a cool song. It doesn't matter which guy it was about. Anthony, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, no. I mean, it's interesting in a way, you know, when I hear, you know, this song was about a particular, you know, person from her past or, you know, obviously someone that she dated, but overall, not really, because when I do hear her songs and I'm actually at times when I do really completely give my attention full to her lyrics, I'm still taking it more from, you know, her perspective, you know, even though she may be directly like referring to someone or a specific situation, it still never really comes across to me like that. The song will still just kind of hit me as if it's just something coming from her, you know, from her part.
Okay. What about you, Billy?
I don't really care that much. Because personally, I just take her songs and I can relate most of them to my own life experiences.
Sure.
And so I think it's cool that, like, there's someone who writes music that I can relate to and that is similar to things I've been through. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I take from it mostly.
I think it's good when lyrics are ambiguous like that, where because someone could be like, there was a song I was listening to a while back, and the guy goes, yeah, you know, that song I wrote, it was about a dog. And I remember going, oh my God, it almost ruined the song for me when he said that, because I thought I had this, you know, vision of what the song meant to me, and then changing it about, oh, it's just this. So I agree with what you're saying, Billy, though. So what do you think, Sarah, about that topic?
Well, I think the songs are written from, like, what Anthony said, from her perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more, to me, I don't really care about, like that particularly, like, not that, like, if it's about a certain guy. I think it matters more what the lyrics make you feel and mm-hmm. How you can relate them to yourself and your experiences. And just, like, because when you listen to music you can relate to, it makes the music very, very more enjoyable and just, like, more meaningful. So
do you guys like it whenever, okay, like, I just gave the example of the guy coming on there going, oh, this song was about a dog. Do you guys like it when Taylor Swift comes out and says, here's what this song's about? Or would you rather just have it say, you know, let me figure it out on my own? Billy, what about you? What do you think on that?
Yeah, because, like, when she'd, like, the Folklore live recording, and she went through and she told us what every song was about for her, I think it's really, I think I enjoy getting to know what these songs mean to her and, like, how they're important in her life. I really enjoy that.
So it doesn't change the way you think about the song?
No, because people can have different perspectives on, like, the same song. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just adding another perspective to what something is about.
Okay. You feel the same way?
Yeah, Sarah? I think her telling her perspective is, like, really cool to hear, just because obviously she wrote the song. Yeah, she came up with all of it, and obviously with other people probably sometimes. But just what Billy said.
Anthony?
Yeah, I do like it when she does that, because with the way that she'll go into her descriptions, a lot of the times when I'm thinking the way a particular song may be hitting me in one way, and then when she comes out and says this is exactly what, you know, she was, you know, talking about or what the song was regarding, then it kind of makes me think, okay, well, I still relate to the song in this way that it was hitting me originally, but now this kind of adds, like, another layer. Like, maybe going a little bit deeper into that same life experience that I had, you know? So, yeah, it actually does, because it makes me think a little differently in terms when she gets a little bit more detailed about it.
That's a good point. Those are all good points about that, because, yeah, it might give you a little more introspective thought on how it relates to you as well, if you know a little more behind it. So, okay, so we're going to go now to each one of you and get your initial reaction to when you listened to the album for the first time, or maybe so far, maybe the only time, because the album really only came out a day ago. So we'll start with Sarah on this one. So what, when you listened to the album, you know, you went through it, and did you listen to it all together, or did you break it up? How'd you do it? Because it's a lot of songs.
Well, for my time, it came out at 11 p.m. at night. So I listened to the part that came out thinking that was the album. I didn't really think, oh, there's another album.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 1 a.m. for me was when the other part came out, and I was like, I'm not listening to it. I'm going to not be able to pay good enough attention to it and just...
I'll just call my dad and talk to him for an hour.
Well, I was just going to tell you all the stuff. So then, I think when I first played it, and I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, like, the opening track is much, like, compared to, like, Lavender Haze opening up Midnights, it's very much more, like, mellow and not as, like, because the opener kind of sets, like, the...
Doesn't have a lot of energy?
Not like, oh, it doesn't have a lot of energy. Like, it just, it sets that it's not going to be a overly energetic album. Like, which is fine. So, first listening to it, I was like, when I listened to the opener, I was like, eh, like, and I'm not, I don't want to lie. Like, I just was kind of like, oh. And then the next one came on. I liked the next one more than I liked the opener. Am I telling my thought on it? Like,
you have to go over every song, but just kind of your overall reaction.
But, like, listening to it again, it's, like, it definitely grew on me overnight. Because waking up, like, I was like, oh, I need to listen to this again. Like, and just, like, hearing the songs again and the lyrics going through my head again and, like, thinking about the lyrics more. Like, it made me enjoy it more. Like, some of the songs that I was just like, meh, I was like, oh, I really like that. Like, you know, it's kind of just because it had to, like, grow on me. Because it's a lot different than her last album, which is fine. Again.
Sure, yeah.
But it's just, like, when you go from that album to another album, you're kind of like, it's 31 new songs to learn the lyrics to. And
it's a lot.
Learn about. And it's a lot. But it definitely has grown on me a lot. And I wanna say something, which I don't know if this is controversial, but dare I say that there are no skips on this album.
Okay, I don't think...
Real. So, not controversial.
I totally agree with that one.
Honestly, because now that I've listened to it more, I'm just like, wow.
Of the 31 songs, there's 2 hours and 3 minutes of music.
Two hours and 2 minutes.
Look. On Apple, it says 2 hours and 3. So, oh. You want to
modify it? Well, because it's two, whoa. Two, but it's double album. The two fingers again.
Two.
She's bringing her conspiracy theories back to life.
We're gonna get to conspiracy theories here in a minute. So
the Easter eggs.
But that's a lot of. I know there's a band I listen to that put their new album out, and it's like 90 minutes long. It's a lot to sit there. I mean, and I sat there and listened to the whole thing in one sitting, like right the first time. And it's a lot to listen. When you listen to that much music, all brand new, all at once, after a while, it's when I was younger, and I was telling Sarah this, I know Anthony will be able to relate to this, but when I was younger, bands wouldn't put out you'd get an album of 8 or 9 songs, because let's say they might narrow it down from 31 songs, and they would just really, really take the cream of the crop, and you get an album with 8 or 9 songs on it. Whereas nowadays, a band like someone like Taylor Swift, and they don't put out an album every, back then it was an album a year too, so or an album every other year. And now you get, of course, Taylor's put out a lot of albums in the last few years because she did Midnight.
Midnight was 2 years ago, 2020, I believe.
And then she had 2 in 2020. So that's a lot of material. And then to put out another 31 songs. So
and re-recordings and a tour.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
She is working overtime.
Yeah.
She's insane.
So, Billy, when you first listened, when you got your whole first listen in, did you listen to it all at once or did you break it up?
I listened to the Torture Poets Department on the 19th, but then I didn't get to listen to the anthology until the 20th.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed all the songs. I think they were really good lyrically and musically, and that Taylor put, like, a lot of effort into these, like, as she always does. And Post Malone and Florence and the Machine are both collab on this album, and I think they did an incredible job, too, when they were in there singing. And, I just think they were really good, and the ones that stuck out to me were definitely I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, So High School, and Who's Afraid of the Little Me, but I think definitely none of them were skips. It was a really good album.
Well, that's good. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, for me, obviously the first, I think I was able to actually hear the standard version of the album, I think, for sure twice through, and then a third time, but the third listen was a lot of starting and stopping from, I can't even make what sound on there. What do you call it? It was a lot of starting and stopping, and then, of course, like I mentioned, when I found out about the anthology, I was able to get through that one, but that one was sort of like broken up. because it was, again, this was like towards the end of my workday when I was getting to play it, and that one I couldn't listen to the whole thing from start to finish towards the end of work because I had to do a lot of starting and stopping on that one.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that if I get a chance to this weekend, I can at least get through the album, but still 2 hours. That's a lot, you know, a lot of material to sit through just in one sitting.
It is. I mean,
To finish up with what people would say about the skits, but yeah, I definitely agree with that from what I've heard that I do remember. I mean, there's not even a moment I thought, oh, you know, this song, I could do without listening to that one. Every song I was just getting involved with when I actually got to listening to it. And yeah, there's definitely no skips on this one, which is saying a lot for 31 tracks. I mean, usually you'll get an album with that much that's going to have some fillers on there that you probably wouldn't mind skipping from time to time, but this one I can't see doing that.
Okay. What were your, were there any songs that really stood out to you? Like when you, the first listen, were there a few songs that just really, that you thought, oh my God, this one's amazing? That, you know, like, it was,
yeah,
like
actually,
that?
Yeah, for sure. The opening track, when I saw the track listing and saw that the opening track was going to be a collaboration with Post Malone, even though the only thing I really know of him was just the work that he did with Ozzy for the two songs, one on his album, and the one that popped up on Ozzy's last studio record.
Yeah.
And then, but I was looking forward to that one, and I was really, really excited about the one that showed up that she was doing with Florence and the Machine, because that's a band that I have been a fan of, I can't even tell you, probably since, I want to say around somewhere between 09 and 10, I think. Basically, when the Ceremonials album came out, when that one came out is when I really became a big fan of that group. And the first time I heard of them was actually on the Grammys from a performance, and it just grabbed me because of the style of music they were playing. So when I saw that, man, I was just like, it was so hard to not want to just jump right to that track. I was like, I got to just tell them, just let myself play the record out. Just play the record out till I got there. But those two I was really, really looking forward to. And so at the times that I was listening to the record or to the album, and since it was while I was working, I couldn't really stop to look at track names. So as I'm hearing lyrics and they're kind of hitting me, I'm like, hey, man, I can relate to that, or I can identify with that, or that's
sure.
That's something I went through, you know. But I couldn't tell you what songs they came off of just for that reason.
Yeah, I know I do a lot of listening while I drive, and it's just playing and playing and playing. And I won't, you know, you listen to a full album, sometimes you don't even know what songs you were listening to. You know what they are,
exactly.
But you don't know what they're called. So,
yeah.
What about you, Billy? What songs did you think stood out, and what did you think of the collaborations?
I already said this, but I will repeat myself.
Yeah.
Did I already ask you this?
No.
No, I just said it. I liked I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, So High School, and Who Is Afraid of the Love Me. And I think that Post Malone, in his acting in the music video was amazing, and he did a great job with the singing. And I think that Florence did a really, her beautiful vocals, and she did a really good job. And I have heard quite a bit of her music before, because my dad's been to their concerts, and he has the CDs. So I've heard quite a few of their songs already, and I really like her music, so I was really happy with this.
Which of the two songs do you like better?
Probably Florida.
What about you, Anthony?
I definitely would go with Florida.
Okay. So, Sarah, what about you? What about standout tracks, and what were your thoughts on the collabs?
I have a couple standout tracks. Well, more than a couple, but first listen, my big standout tracks were So Long London, just because it's just a very emotional song. Why are you like?
Just looking at it.
Then I also really loved I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, because it's that real depressing lyrics, and then the most upbeat, happy song in the back, and just I really liked The Black Dog, really good. And then, and The Prophecy was really good.
So yeah, it was, I didn't realize that she was doing covers on this album, Anthony.
What do you...
She did The Prophecy, did you know that?
And I was going to mention too, the black dog.
Yeah.
Even though that one struggled, I was pretty certain it wasn't going to be a cover, of Led Zeppelin, but that was like the first thing that ran through my mind when I saw that song title.
Yeah, I asked.
It's on the pub in England that that is actually put out a post about the song.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
because people are probably gonna like want to go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably gonna get, the Florida tourism thing is using the song Florida to try and get people to come there too. So
I'm not. I think she's
helped a lot of places.
Since you didn't want to ask me, out of the two collaborations, I like Florida. If I have to choose one of them,
Florida.
Just because Florence's voice and her voice are really, really good together. And Florence sounds so good too. Just like, cause I know like a couple of their songs, and I know one song really good of theirs because I watch a TV show that one of them was featured in. And I remember when I heard the song in the background, I was like, what is this song? And I like looked at it and like went and listened to some of the music. So
cool. Well, I'm glad y'all, and enjoyed the same lab.
Please stop.
Why did you try and shorter than it already
Billy
is?
Was like...
So I'm glad y'all enjoyed the aberrations. So next up, we're going to get into some conspiracy talk. Since we're done talking about the colas.
Get off my podcast.
So
I'm gonna run it now. You're not.
All right, go ahead, Billy. Okay, start talking
we're
about.
We're gonna talk about conspiracy theories.
I know you're the conspiracy theory person here. So start. Yeah. So have some conversation with these other two people. Y'all can lab on them a little bit.
Okay.
If you don't stop.
You gonna knock my nose off?
I'm gonna start running the podcast.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead.
Okay, the first conspiracy theory I have is that RepTV is gonna come in September, which a couple of people seem to also agree with. And also the person like Georgia Poets Department and the track lists and the date it was coming out. Before Taylor even announced it, said that. And to that person, I hate.
Wait.
Was that Anthony? Did you do that, Anthony?
No, definitely wasn't.
No, he would never. Okay. When I find you.
Hopefully they're not in Perth. Sheesh.
But I am so looking forward to the Reputation Killers version.
They need shock therapy from the Fortnite music video.
Let me ask y'all a question. Would you guys have rather had a new album by Taylor Swift yesterday or the Reputation Taylor's version?
A new one. Sorry.
Yeah. New one, definitely.
I think both are good. I don't really care.
I mean, yeah, I think
I would have taken either.
Either way, it's like you're gonna be excited.
I'd just be happy to music out.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
Like, I think that when she announced the album, everybody thought it was going to be Reputation Taylor's version, but I think it made it so much better when she said, oh, it's a new album, a brand new album, because everybody thought it was going to be a re-record. So everybody was, like, even more hype, because, is that a lingo, hype? Is that?
No. Yeah, I think so. Probably.
So let me ask you a different question. I know we're talking conspiracy theories here a little bit, but of all the labs that she's done with all the different people through the years, where do these aberrations, where do they rank?
Dad.
Sorry.
Okay.
Where do these collaborations rank compared to the, like, do you think, Because all three of you agreed that you liked the Florence and the Machine collaboration the best. So would you say that that's her best collaboration ever?
No.
Anthony?
Well, sorry.
Obviously, Brendan Urie's is the worst.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Which one?
Brendan.
For me, I'm going to have to go with Florence just because, you know, I'm a huge fan of that group and the singer.
Yeah.
But yeah, of the ones that she's done, and that's not to say that the other ones from the other albums are not good. They are. They're all really good. The only thing is that she's done a lot of collaborations outside of Ed Sheeran prior to this record with a lot of vocalists that I honestly, well, and Brendan Urie, I knew who he was already. But the other ones that she's done, I honestly had never heard of them before. Just because a lot of the more, I guess, recent groups that are out that they're a part of, I just had never really, you know, heard their music and wasn't familiar with them.
So, Sarah, if you said this is not the best one ever, what would you say is the best one ever?
Well, for me, hold on, let me make sure this is the right song that I'm thinking of. Where is it? Okay. Mine's definitely has to go to Nothing New featuring Phoebe Bridgers, just because...
Is that blonde-headed girl?
It's that one girl that made the speech about her.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just because that song, I just really love that song, and I think that her vocals mixed with Taylor's really well as well, and just having the collaboration on a song that I really love makes it stick out more to me.
Okay, Billy, what would you say? What was your favorite?
Is he riding on the cup again?
Yes. Stop.
What's your favorite?
I can't even read that.
What's your favorite of all the labs that she's done?
Sarah, could you please just throw that cup across the room for
There's
me?
There's literally just tea still in it.
Just confiscate that. My favorite would be I Don't Want to Live Forever, which is actually by Zayn, but I just think that her vocals on that were really good.
Okay, what's the best one on one of her albums?
My best one on her albums would have to be Endgame, I think. Hmm. The worst one would have to be Brendan Urie. The song's great. Brendan Urie is not. He tried. He failed. Also, I just don't like Ed Sheeran. But he did good on Endgame.
Okay. So any more conspiracy talk? We got any more conspiracies that you think are happening?
I think there's going to be more music videos because when she released Midnights, she did the promo video for the... She actually put, like, three music videos together with, like, one song over it.
Okay.
And then released those. But I think, like, the music video preview she's done is just parts from Fortnite. But she put the song Florida over the top, so I think maybe Florida will be another single, or we'll get a music video.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, do you have any conspiracy theories, Sarah?
I don't have. It's not a theory, like a conspiracy theory, but it is something that I like saw that I wanted to talk about. Hold on, let me pull it up. So in the promo video, which maybe something did happen, and I'm thinking...
Oh, yeah, this was weird. You showed this to me.
When it goes to the, like, calendar where it says, like, Friday, 4/19, the Torture Poets Department release day, it says 8 p.m. Yeah. ET music video release, and then there's 14 tally marks at the bottom.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what
that was.
Those represent. Like, so I was just confused.
Also, she did finally draw stars, right?
Was there four? Was it track 14?
No, Fortnite was the first track.
Oh, okay.
But like a fortnight is 2 weeks, and 2 weeks is 14 days.
Oh.
So that could be it.
Check out the big brain on Billy.
That could be it, that or she could just be being sneaky again.
Yeah, I just don't know what. Maybe I don't know.
So, okay, one question here, because usually, at least this is from a person who doesn't know nearly as much about Taylor Swift as the three of you do. Normally, what I hear is that songs on her albums generally kind of tend to focus on past relationships. I'm pretty sure that Sarah told me that she thinks there's a song, or she knows there's a song on the new album about her current boyfriend. You said there was one about Travis Kelce, right?
Yes.
Oh, so high school.
And the Alchemy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that one too.
I didn't think about that one.
The only one I had heard about.
Because she says, hold on, let me.
Is that an accurate statement, though?
Yeah.
That she usually writes about past relationships?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because
not maybe so much. I would say, like, relationship experiences.
Here's
how I would cater.
But if you look at Rep and Lover, they're both sort of her talking about her relationship with Joe Alwyn while she's dating him.
Oh, okay.
And how he's helped her. So she has definitely written songs about the person she's dating while she's dating them before.
Okay.
But I think...
What were you going to say, Sarah?
It just says, like, there was no chance... I don't know. It just says, there was no chance trying to be the greatest in the league. Where's the trophy? He just comes running over to me.
Oh...
And
yeah.
It says touchdown, call the amateurs and cut them from the team. And then there's like, just like, it's just like small hints.
Okay, so here's the conspiracy then.
I have something to say about what you said. I think that she writes about things in previous relationships, but I don't think that. That's a bad thing either.
I don't think
that's all she writes about, but I think that. It's an experience she had, and it caused her to feel something that she put into a song.
Okay, question. Yeah. That lyric that Sarah just read about that, she said this album's been ready for 2 years or whatever.
She said she's been making it for 2 years.
So does that mean
she might have added more songs to it.
Okay, so it's not like, it wasn't recorded 2 years ago.
She's been making it for two years.
Of the songs might have been written and recorded 2 years ago. But she might have added more songs to it since.
I also fully believe that her and Joe broke up before it was publicized. Like, I feel like they were broken up a good while before we all found out.
I think they might have had, like, an engagement or something. Because a lot of her songs do reference, like, a wedding and, like a ruined wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe... one of them wanted to get married, the other one didn't, or, like, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this, she must have a pretty tight-knit group, her little community of people, because to have an album that's going to release in 2 months, and you make, because when you're making the announcement, you know, you've got to have so many things, so many wheels in motion to have all this come together and work out right and be able to release an album and have product ready and all that kind of stuff. So to have all that stuff going on, that says something about her organization that she's got. You know, I know like in the rock community, I know Anthony would know about this, but when Metallica released their new album recently, I'm pretty sure there was no announcement. It was just like, hey, we're releasing a new album today. And it's like, how does a band that's, you know, Metallica would probably be the equivalent of Taylor Swift in the rock, you know, in the hard rock world, because they're the biggest band out there. And to be able to come out with an announcement that you got a new album coming out tomorrow or whatever day, you know, within a few days, and nobody, it's like completely taking everyone by surprise, that's a great organization to be a part of. You know, Iron Maiden's the same way. They're pretty tight-knit too, so... that's a compliment. If I'm comparing Taylor Swift to Iron Maiden and Metallica, that's, for me, that's a big compliment. Right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Bill?
Yeah, it amazes me when any super well-known artist does that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think,
yeah, because, like, Beyonce's done that. She's dropped albums unannounced. Yeah. Eminem is another one, a huge artist that's done that a couple of times.
Okay.
That had an unannounced album.
Okay, well...
the thing about it is that it got leaked, but she didn't buy, like, the factory of people making, like, the CDs. And So what she did is she didn't have any of the anthology CDs made until after she'd announced it. She's like, because then no one can leak it if it's a secret.
Right.
And I think Jack Antonoff is like, he's done a really good job because he's helped her write a lot of the songs. And he's done like instruments and like backing vocals on them. And I think he's really a big part of her team. And he's just done an amazing job every time.
Mm-hmm. Once you get to the point of of a factory and someone in a factory, you know, basically stealing an album and getting it out there, releasing it somewhere else, that's almost outside of the corporation control. Like you can't control every little thing. So, I mean, the fact that, and then I know, like Sarah didn't hear it, you know, I'm pretty sure neither one of you heard it.
Well, I knew that it got leaked, but I made a point to make sure if it did come up on anything.
I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, I wanted to listen to it for the first time and get the full, like, experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same
and
for me.
Taylor when wanted it to be released.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, there was album that
I
got...
I just think leaking, like, albums... I just don't think that's, like... I don't think anyone's very happy about that, to be honest. I think everyone was kind of mad at that person for doing that.
Because
it ruins the surprise and, like, all the fun that we get out of it.
Yeah, when you're a big fan of the artist, you want things done the way the artist wants to get them done. You don't want someone, like, stealing...
Yeah.
It's because they're stealing moments from people, you know, and it's pretty sorry, so...
Yeah.
So we'll go around the room here. Any closing thoughts about anything Taylor Swift related going on? Predictions? Billy?
I was just wondering what you guys have been thinking about Coachella this year. Because, I mean, obviously Taylor Swift's been there with Travis Kelce.
Mm.
And I Spice gave it like a shout out, and they've been watching like a lot of the concerts. And I was just wondering, I like a lot of the bands who were there. I was just wondering if you guys do as well.
Yeah, I like a lot of them too. I think I told my dad that I one day dream to go to Coachella. So
yeah,
that is.
Like my mum doesn't really like most of the bands, but I was just wondering if like maybe. Anyone else did?
Sarah probably does.
I'm trying to think. I know.
Yeah.
I do love Sabrina Carpenter, which is probably like basic, but
no.
I'm trying to think who I know of that performed there because I haven't seen a ton on it. I know that Billy and Lana were there.
Together. You were there, Billy?
Blur. Yeah,
Billy was there.
Blur was there, and they've now quit.
Oh,
Blur was there.
Cause, yeah,
that's your aunt's favorite band.
I know. But like the crowds at Coachella, they mostly just go for clout. So like, a lot of artists were getting sick of people like not even listening to their music or like reacting. Or, like, watching them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why Blur's quit now after that. And I know Sabrina Carpenter was working really hard to try and get the crowd involved.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they just didn't want to be involved. I think Taylor Swift was definitely hyping up every single person on that stage. She was, like, singing along, cheering. She does that every time she goes to, she watches someone perform. And, I just think, maybe the crowd could have been a bit better. But I think the artists were really good.
Okay. Anthony, any closing thoughts?
Not really. The only thing is just that now that she's put out the new album, I'm really, with her only having two re-records left to put out, I am really looking forward to the Reputation one. That one I'm really, really excited for.
So she has that one and then her first album left?
Yeah.
I'm excited for debut because she had a lot of unreleased music from that time that she just put out on radios, and I think that the Vault tracks that are going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you have any closing thoughts? I hate my dad.
Not really. I mean,
okay.
I'm just excited that we got new music because I'm excited to learn about the songs and just the lyrics of 31 new songs.
It's a lot of music. So, well, all right. Well,
Do you think she's gonna add another like set to the Eras tour, or do you think she's gonna do another concert?
I honestly don't think she will. I think she'll do.
Yeah.
I don't think she has enough because her concert's already so long. I think that she'll do them as surprise songs, maybe. But
I'm really hoping she does like a second tour.
Another tour, yeah. Me too.
Later on, I mean, I think she might wait for a couple more to release a couple more albums to do it, but I think.
I really hope so.
I don't think it's going to be added to the set list.
Because I think it would throw off the rest of her set list, because she might have to take other songs out and stuff.
She would.
Yeah.
I think when a band puts out a new album, they should tour and play a lot of material from that. Like,
because a lot of bands don't put another album out while they're on tour.
Well, yeah. But I mean, if you're doing 30, yeah, I think what Sarah said makes sense. A new song. Or a couple of new songs would, you know, I would personally think if she's on tour right now.
I think she should do surprise.
I think she she will have to pull songs out and play some new songs. She can't just go, okay, I put out a brand new album. We're not going to play any of them, though. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
But I think she should do, like, another
She
tour.
Could, like, I think she, I don't think she put them in the set list. I think she just played them in the acoustic section.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, yeah.
Because that's, that, yeah.
But then let's say she goes on. Let's say, how much longer is the current tour going for?
Mm.
I think end of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It'll be done by 2024, I believe.
Golly. Unless she adds more, but.
Well, no, but then I was saying, so when does she actually stop that tour and take time off and go, let's do the next tour? And so let's just say, whenever that happens, whenever she goes into the next tour. How many songs do you think that she will put it? Because out of 31 songs, if she goes, hey, now we're going to go on the
Tortured Poet Department.
Yeah, we're going to go the TPD tour now.
TTPD.
Yeah. And 31 songs, how many of those songs does she put in a set? Cause like, let me say this. I know of a band that had an album with 8 songs on it, and they played 5 of them on a tour. So that's like 60% of the album.
Current set list.
Yeah. So that means, like, if Taylor did that.
Current set list is like 42 songs, though.
So that's really feasible that she could put in like 12 songs, right? Out of 31? Or does she count the album as 16 songs and then the other is just extra?
No, they're definitely both counting as an album.
So 60% would be like 16 or 17 songs. That's a lot. So do you think she would even play 8 songs off of a new album? That's a lot of songs to add into your set.
Well, I don't think that she would.
I don't think
she's going to add into it. I think
I'm talking about when she does a new tour.
Well, then why are you saying add into
the
set?
Well, because that's going to be part of the set.
Well, I think it will definitely. I mean, I don't know if she's going to tour just for the Tortured Poets Department tour, or if it's going
to
be like...
She might wait two or three more albums to come out and do it like a 13-album tour.
But see, I think the only reason she did that was because of COVID. Because she couldn't tour the other albums or whatever because of COVID, so she was like, okay, now I'm going to do this so I can play all these songs. Anyway,
she probably could play the entire album because the Eras Tour set list is like 42 songs.
So that'd be almost, golly.
If she really wanted to play the whole album.
Yeah, she could, but it's been known to happen.
I don't know if she would.
There's plenty of bands that do that.
She could still have songs from other albums.
Yeah. Very many fewer, though.
Well, yeah, but she's just gone on a tour for.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that sums it up. So, on behalf of me and and Billy and Sarah and Anthony. Thank you for coming back on here, Anthony.
Thank you again for having me. It has thank been you. A real treat.
Yeah, yeah. So bye, Sarah, Billy, and Anthony.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.